Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome back from what was hopefully an awesome weekend, or for Heath, what was hopefully an awesome week. And even Schrager was on a little weekend vacation. Everybody's having fun. It is summertime. It's time to get excited about football. Look at a mock draft we did a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, here we go. I'm Adam Azer with Dave Richard and Heath Cummings. Welcome back, Heath.
Hey, thanks. I missed you guys.
Missed you too. Yeah. In your stead, Dan Schneier was on an episode last week. He was on the mailbag episode. He crushed it. He was great. He'll be back on later this week. We have a great team here. I'm very happy to be working with you guys. I'm sentimental today, Dave.
Are you putting in your 2 weeks or something?
Dan Schneier's replacing me. No. You know what? It's a fun time of year. I actually really like it when there's not a lot of news in the NFL.
So you don't want to work is what you're saying.
No, this is actually a good time to work. You know, you can dig into some things and find some. I did a lot of tight end, not a lot, but I did some tight end research over the weekend. And tight end was a big theme in the mock draft that we did. You know, we had the 3, 4, 5 picks. Heath picked third. I picked fourth. Dave picked fifth. Heath, you have Andrews, right?
I took Andrews in round 5, right after TJ Hockenson.
Right. So you took Andrews. I took Kelsey. Dave took Kittle. So it was important for us to grab an elite tight end or you know, a top 6 tight end, and we'll see how our teams played out. Also want to remind you that the link to the mock draft is in the episode description. So if you're watching on YouTube, you'll be able to see the results. Schrager's going to put those up, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday, as we go. If you're listening and you can, please check out the link to the draft. It's in the episode description. All right.
Well, I wonder what the weakness is on everybody's team. That took a tight end early. So what's the weakness on Heath's team? I know what the weakness is on my team. Adam, you took Kelsey so early. There's got to be at least one weakness in your squad. And then another person, Andy Singleton, took Kyle Pitts in round 3. What's the weakness in his team? And if there is no weakness, if we truly look over these teams and we don't see a weakness, then I think that that's a sign of a great draft, obviously. But they're typically, if you're going to take a tight end early, especially if you're starting 3 receivers, there's going to be a weakness there. Can you live with the weakness that you put forth with your team?
It's a great question. There will be a weakness, but just because you have a weakness on draft day doesn't mean it's going to be a weakness throughout
Correct.
The course of the season.
100% true, which is, we should get into this a little bit more when we talk about our teams and the tight ends that we took. But I think that that's the give and take that you have with tight end this year, is that if you're going to take one early, you're going to have to make up for it somewhere along the way, whether it's on draft day or during the season.
And I will say also, like, not always, but for the most part, if you have a weakness at tight end on draft day,
Raheem,
probably going to have a weakness at tight end.
That's true.
Right.
That's a good point.
All right. Let me read an email of the day. This is not really.
Oh, this gets me fired up.
Oh, okay. Okay. Cool. Good. It's from Kyle. Where's Kyle from?
I guess he's either from Buffalo, New York, or from College Park, Maryland.
Wrong town, Wrongville.
Hey, Troy, Lionel, Hank, and Dr. Nick. Heath, do you know them?
No.
Okay, it's the Simpsons.
Yes.
Troy McClure, Lionel Hutz. Those are Phil Hartman characters. I'm guessing Hank Scorpio and Dr. Nick. After listening to the entire top 5 wide receiver show last week, I was shocked at how little respect you are putting on Stephon Diggs' name. He was brought up here and there, but it was largely a debate on which excuse you like more to have Tyreek or Devontae number 1. The problem is Diggs has a higher floor and just as high or a higher ceiling in PPR. He writes a really long email here, so I'll sum it up. Diggs had a lot more catches than Tyreek Hill ever has had. Tyreek Hill has to deal with Travis Kelce. Diggs does not. And Kyle expects a little bit more production from the running backs in the passing game in Kansas City, but not in Buffalo. Arguments against Devontae Adams. Is Aaron Rodgers his QB? Really? Are you sure?
There's a great argument.
That was
like the best argument maybe in the whole email.
Respectable run game for Green Bay. And what about his targets? Blah, blah, blah. 18 touchdowns, not sustainable.
You just blah, blah, blah his email.
No, it's a long email. Too long, didn't read. He wrote, Diggs is the alpha in a pass-heavy offense with an improving quarterback with no competition from running back or tight end. High floor, high ceiling. And then he added a Daniel Jones stat. Jones graduated from Duke University in December 2018 with a degree in economics. So thank you for that. All right, so I think he brings up some good points. Heath does it. Kyle thinks Stephon Diggs should be wide receiver one.
First off, the Stephon Diggs has a higher floor and just as high of ceiling when he did last year what Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill have done for each of the past 3 years does not compute in my head. And I know Tyreek Hill had the year 2 years ago where he had some injuries, but on a per game basis in the games that he played a complete game, he was just as good. He's been almost exactly the same guy in terms of fantasy points per game. And that's right around 20 and a half fantasy points per game, which is what Diggs did last year. We saw Diggs. You can make the argument that he went to Buffalo and was unleashed and is just going to be this good forever. I would say, as a rule, if you have a 27-year-old, 26-year-old wide receiver who bests his career yards by 400 or 500 yards and catches 30 more passes than he's ever caught, you should not bet on him being that good for the next 3 to 4 years. Now, there's a little bit of a change here because he had a new quarterback. But again, Josh Allen took that leap last year. And for the most part, we've seen the young quarterbacks that take that leap don't just continue on that trajectory forever, or Patrick Mahomes would be throwing 100 touchdowns per season by now. They flatten out or they come back to earth just a little bit. The two things that really got me fired up, one was that Devontae Adams is going to find it hard to repeat his 140 plus targets. He had 140 plus targets in 14 games last year. He's been on pace for at least 169 targets each of the past three seasons.
Yeah. And like 111 or more catches each of the last three seasons.
And I don't really like the fact that Tyreek Hill has to compete with Travis Kelce. He's had Travis Kelce on the team each of the past three seasons when he's been every bit as good, if not better, than Stephon Diggs. So I don't really care about that. And then finally, what if Josh Allen regresses? Well, what if he continues to improve like he has every year since coming into the league? That's just not the way that it works. Like, you just don't continue to get better every single year of your career.
Yeah, but okay, yeah, I agree.
Unless you're Tom
but
Brady.
Do you think? But the thing is, the only argument for, not the only argument, an argument that he didn't even make, I don't think, unless it was in that email, was that Diggs was probably pretty unlucky with touchdowns. I mean, Allen threw 37 of them, and Diggs had what, eight?
Eight.
Whereas Adams had 18, and Hill had 15 receiving and 2 rushing. So he had like 28% of the targets and 20% of the touchdowns, something like that. That's roughly. So I don't know. You could see more touchdowns from Diggs.
I would agree, except that, like, if you're telling me that Diggs gets 166 targets or 10.5 targets per game again this year and catches 77% of them like he did last year, then yeah, he should score more targets, or he should score more touchdowns.
Yeah, but it was 20% of the team's touchdowns, not Josh Allen's. Buffalo threw 40 touchdowns and he had 8 of them. All right, Dave, you want to weigh in quickly here?
I just think there's more upside with Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams catching passes from Aaron Rodgers because we've seen it from them before. We've seen Adams finish as a wide receiver one in PPR 2 of the last 4 seasons. It's because of high volume. It's because of a high touchdown rate. Tyreek's got the potential to do it too. We've seen him finish very strong over the past 4 seasons. Certainly not the season where he didn't have Patrick Mahomes the whole year, but outside of that, he's been really good. And Diggs was awesome last year. Allen playing better was a huge part of it. All the hallmarks that I talk about for breakout quarterbacks, it happened there. Josh Allen proved it. And I think that they'll continue to be strong. I like him as my third favorite quarterback to draft. I see him as a pretty safe floor fantasy receiver, but I don't think he quite has the ceiling of Tyreek and Devontae, but still a receiver I would love to have on my team when the running backs dry out, when the tight ends are gone in those early rounds.
Yeah. To be clear, all those things I said, I'm still taking Stephon Diggs early in the second round. I'm not, nothing bad about Stephon Diggs. I just don't think it's reasonable to say he has a higher floor and the same ceiling as two guys who have done this thing that he did last year for 3 years in a row.
Okay. Right. Let me just I think that Heath, you might be holding his Minnesota seasons against him a little bit too much. If the only year you ever knew of Stephon Diggs was his Buffalo season, right?
Uh-huh.
So
you're wanting to hold his Minnesota. I'm not holding his Minnesota seasons against him, but like you're wanting to pretend as if his Minnesota seasons just didn't happen at all.
No, I mean, look, he was really good in Minnesota. Obviously, wasn't this good, but he finally had the chance to be the alpha, to truly lead the team in targets in a runaway fashion with a quarterback who threw 38 touchdowns. Kirk Cousins hasn't done that. And you look at, 37 touchdowns? I keep forgetting. 37.
More than 12 touchdowns.
37. Basically, what I'm saying is Mahomes threw 38 touchdown passes. Allen threw 37. Tyreek Hill caught twice as many touchdowns as Stephon Diggs. Diggs had a lot more catches. Diggs, I'm pretty sure, averaged more yards per game, right? I mean, Diggs led the NFL in receiving yards. Yeah, he absolutely averaged more yards per game, a lot more yards per game than Tyreek Hill. In terms of yards per game and catches per game, Diggs and Devontae Adams were almost identical. And then in terms of touchdowns, Aaron Rodgers threw 48. We don't expect that to happen again. And Josh Allen threw 37. And even with that gap, you wouldn't expect 10 more touchdown catches from Devontae Adams. That's basically the entire gap between Rodgers and Allen. So what I'm saying is, if this was the only year you knew of Stephon Diggs, I think it'd be pretty reasonable to rank him number one, because there is, I think that floor is pretty, I think that's a good point about his floor.
If it was also the only year of Adams and Tyreek Hill, I would be closer to agreeing with you.
But it was the best year for Diggs.
And Adams and Hill had done it 3 years, and Diggs had done it 1 year, even if Diggs had never done anything else.
Adams has not done it 3 years, though. This was his best year by far.
Who?
Adams. This was his best year by far.
His best year by far. He did it for 12 games.
But he didn't do, but he, okay, if you just look at points per game, right, I think I'm looking at PPR, 25.7 last year, and Diggs was at 20.5. Adams was better
than
that.
That's not even close.
No, it's not, but it was all touchdowns. I mean, legitimately, it was the touchdowns. It was 10 more touchdowns.
Right, so wouldn't you rather have a receiver that gets a lot of touchdowns?
But
that's been something that's been consistent with Devontae Adams since he's been in Green Bay catching passes from this quarterback?
Yes, I would, but Diggs has more touchdown potential than what he showed last year. I'm making the case.
But not as much touchdown potential. It's not reasonable to say he has the same touchdown potential, I don't think, as Adams and Hill.
Right.
They have shown year over year over year.
I agree with you too. I'm just trying to give our listener a little.
It's not going to be surprising if Diggs catches 10 or 11 touchdowns, but that's kind of what you expect from Devontae Adams. It also wouldn't be surprising if Diggs finished up with 6 or 7 touchdowns. Which, if Devontae Adams finished with 6 or 7 touchdowns, you'd wonder, well, what happened and why did he only play 8 games?
And I want to clarify, I wasn't saying that Devontae Adams had done what he did last year for basically the last 3 years. I was saying he's done what Stephon Diggs did last year in terms of fantasy production for basically the last 3 years.
Adams in PPR finishes wide receiver 1 twice, wide receiver 6 once, and wide receiver 12 over the last 4 years. In the year he finished wide receiver 12, Aaron Rodgers was hurt for a huge chunk of the year.
Yeah, but last year, Stephon Diggs averaged 3 more fantasy points per game in 2020 than Devontae Adams did in 2019. So let's not just completely. I'm arguing against myself here because I agree with you guys, but I don't think it's a horrible email here. And Daniel Jones did graduate with a degree in economics. We're going to be playing poker.
He's going to need it in a couple of years.
We're going to be playing poker Tuesday night on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Come join us. This is courtesy of Faded Spade. Faded Spade Virtual Poker has helped nonprofits and corporations with philanthropic fundraising, customer engagement, and employee connectivity. Faded Spade Virtual Poker has helped raise nonprofits over $5 million since last year. Learn more at fadedspade.com. And it's a really great place to play poker as well. You'll see on youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern. It's Tuesday night. And we're going to be giving away two free sets of cards during the show. So, yeah, join us. Subscribe to the channel. And we'll see you on youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Offensive line upgrades. The Jets signed offensive tackle Morgan Moses, who Washington released for cap reasons not long ago. And Pittsburgh signed Trey Turner. And David DeCastro, their longtime starting guard, he might retire. He needs ankle surgery. He won't play this year for the Steelers.
Did we talk about Najee Harris at all in regards to this?
We've been talking about it ever since he got drafted by the Steelers.
But like, this is just another little ding. Like, no,
is it?
I think that Trey Turner's not really been good.
Last year he wasn't good. I can look up his grades.
David DeCastro has been pretty much regarded as better than Trey Turner, hasn't he?
I think both of them were not graded high last year.
Trey Turner was. They're both excellent in their day. Turner was hurt
a
lot last year, as I recall. He was a massive
run blocking grades for DeCastro plummeted after 2017.
Okay.
Like, he was like at an all pro level. And then 2018, 2019, they were bad. It got worse in 2020. His pass blocking was fine, but his run blocking wasn't good. That's according to our friends at Pro Football Focus. I'm going to Trey Turner right now. Trey Turner last year, I believe it was the same thing. Yeah, his run blocking grade was terrible, but yeah, like Adam said, he didn't really play a lot, and he hasn't really played consistently for much of the last four seasons. But his grades were actually, he started his career in Carolina really strong, and then his grades have tapered off since then. So it's probably a bit of a downgrade. Obviously, just by looking purely at his pass blocking grades, Trey Turner's have been poor compared to DeCastro's. And DeCastro was a good pass blocker as recently as last year.
How many offensive linemen do the Steelers have who would grade just as like average?
Can we just say that they have on paper what looks like a terrible,
the worst offensive line, like awful, awful, awful.
It's a sore spot. It's the only thing that's holding Najee Harris from being a top 10 pick in fantasy. He's close to that already. There are people that are ready to take him.
He's 12th in best ball. He's 12th in best ball right now.
Sure, sure. Can the talent overcome it? Can his talent overcome what they're doing? And some of it has to be, you've got to look at the line that they're building. They're going to be physical. They're going to use more power running scheme. Maybe that'll help them because they're not going to do a lot of zone blocking, but we'll see.
It's just funny because like conventional wisdom in the industry over the past few years has really shifted towards situation matters. Running back doesn't in most regards. There are certain running backs who definitely do. And with Najee Harris, it's kind of like we're just ignoring the situation and his talent is going to have to overcome it.
But when you say situation, that there are more than one. It's not just the offensive line. It's the touches. I think that's when people look at the situation.
Well,
look at the opportunity.
To say it's a good situation for that, you would have to hope that they are going to go back to throwing to their running backs like they did before they had Juju, Deontay,
Chase Claypool. That's going to happen.
Yeah, I think people are banking on that happening.
Right. Well, I mean, you just look at the track record of the offensive coordinator that's coming in, and they're just going to do things a lot differently than what they did last year. And here's a running back who can catch the ball out of the backfield and
make
plays. But
they're talking about not throwing it short as often, but we're going to see more throws to running backs.
Like, I think that's the thing that's going to continue, is that they will continue to throw it short.
But Heath, even if teams throw the ball deep, they still have, like, can you think of a team that throws the ball deep and still throws to running backs? I mean, Tom Brady still threw to running backs last year. I know it wasn't like one guy, but there was Fournette was getting a lot of catches. I don't know. Running backs can still have a role.
Well,
even on teams
but
that
Tom Brady has
field.
Wide receivers who mostly succeed down the field.
All right. Okay.
Are you saying the Steelers receivers can't succeed down the field, or are you saying that the Steelers receivers don't have a quarterback that can help them succeed down the field?
I don't know. Maybe both.
I'm going to wrap this up here. The Jets, though, with Morgan Moses, that's an upgrade for them. Probably it'll be.
Yeah, that line used to suck.
Yeah, could be good. Could be good.
That's a good pick. The Steelers should have signed him.
Okay, let's get into our mock draft. Here we go. Remember, the link to the article is in the episode description. You can follow along there. 12-team league, full PPR, three receivers, two running backs, three receivers, and a flex. Heath had the third pick. I had the fourth pick, and Dave had the fifth pick. So how about that? I did a Twitter poll. Now, I'm not going to go through all the results. I will tell you I'll just give you rounds one and two real quick. But next week, I want to do a live mock draft where we can start really figuring, going through the order. I'm not going to just read the results, but I'll give you rounds one and two. It was McCaffrey, Cook, and Henry with the first three picks. As an experiment, I took Kelsey fourth. We'll see how it played out. Dave took Kamara, then Barkley, Jonathan Taylor, Zeke, Eckler, Aaron Jones. The first 10 picks are nine running backs and Travis Kelsey, who went fourth overall. Tyreek Hill was the first wide receiver taken. He was 11th. Then Joe Mixon was 12th. Round two, Diggs, Chubb, Najee Harris, Cam Akers, DeAndre Hopkins, Devontae Adams went with the sixth pick of the second round. Calvin Ridley went after that. I just hit a button, so give me a second. There we go. Calvin Ridley, Antonio Gibson, Justin Jefferson, AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, and Terry McLaurin. Some young, look at that run of year three wide receivers. Jefferson, Brown, year two, then year three. Jefferson in year two, then AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin. Okay, so that's the first two rounds. I want to just talk about how we went about structuring our teams. And so I put up a little Twitter poll since we had picks 3, 4, and 5, Heath 3, Adam 4, Dave 5. Which team had the best start in a full PPR league? Three wide receivers and a flex. Was it Team A? Derrick Henry, AJ Brown, Titans fan, Keenan Allen, Mike Davis, and Mark Andrews. So that would be. That would be Heath's team. Henry. Yeah.
It's funny because Adam's team also looks a lot like one of my teams.
Well, I wish it had been because I got the fewest votes. Henry and Mike Davis, AJ Brown and Keenan Allen, Mark Andrews. Team B was my team. Kelsey, Jefferson, Swift, Jacobs, and Kupp. So that would be Swift and Jacobs, Jefferson and Kupp, and Kelsey. And then Dave's team, Kamara and Gibson, then Kittle, then Woods and Deontay Johnson. So we each have two running backs, two wide receivers, and a tight end. Dave's are Kamara, Gibson, Woods, Deontay Johnson, and Kittle. And Dave won 46% of the vote. I got 20% of the vote. Heath got 34% of the vote.
I was going to guess that Heath won. That's interesting.
I think Mike Davis in round four probably scares some people.
Maybe.
Dave went running back. Heath went running back receiver. I went tight end receiver. And again, Dave's team. I really liked your start, Dave. Kamara, Gibson, Kittle, Woods, Deontay Johnson. And that is an argument against taking Kelsey with a top five pick, is that you can, and you can even get Kittle a little later in the third round, according to ADP. If you think they're close, then, Dave got Kittle in the third round, but yeah. All right. So what'd you think about the way you started?
I loved it. And it's probably the way I'm going to recommend that everybody start drafting their teams this year, is just to go with running backs early on. When you've got a top five pick, and we might be able to extend this to the top seven picks this year, you're going to find a running back that you'll love. Someone that has the potential to have big games every week, average north of 18 PPR points per game, come through with double digit touchdowns over the balance of the season, certainly be a candidate to score no matter who they play. Easy start option. Obviously your first round pick, you're going to start no matter who they play, but then you also want to find running backs that can come close to that or exceed that, as long as you can in the draft. And I think Gibson does have a chance. I think his upside is top five. And I know that sounds a little silly to say, but he scored a lot of touchdowns last year. His coaches are talking him up like he's improved as a player this year. I'm sure he's going to continue to see a lot of opportunities in this offense. And that offense should be better overall with Fitzpatrick under center, threatening downfield a little bit more. So Gibson's one of those running backs that I look at and say, okay, he's got that upside. I can get him in round two. Happy to take him. And then my strategy with tight ends is that if I can get one at a fair value or better, I'm going to go for one early. So when I was up at pick five in the first round, I didn't think Kelce was a good value. He was gone anyway,
but
if he had been there, I don't think I would have taken him there. But I was absolutely, I would consider, Kelce wouldn't make it back to me in round two, but Waller and Kittle, I would consider at my spot in round two, depending on what was left at running back. And Gibson was there. That was an easy call for me to take the running back ahead of the tight end. And I wouldn't have been upset if I didn't see one of those tight ends make it back to me in round three. In fact, I wouldn't expect it to happen. And in that spot, I'd either go receiver if there's a great receiver left, or just take the best available running back to really load up at that position. But I got lucky. I feel like I got lucky. I know the ADP says that Kittle is there in round three, but I am thrilled to take him there and kind of eschew the top 10 at wide receiver to get that stud tight end that's going to give me a positional advantage over the majority of the league. And in fact, I think I've got an advantage just because I've got these two great running backs that I think will catch a lot of passes and or score a lot of touchdowns, plus the tight end that should finish top three.
If you had known when you picked Antonio Gibson in the second round that you could get Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the third round, because he went two picks after you took Kittle, mm-hmm. would you have maybe taken... Instead of you, okay, so right, you took Kamara in round one, then you took Gibson. If you had known CEH would be there in round three, would you maybe have gone wide receiver there? Would you have taken Justin Jefferson or whoever your highest ranked receiver was at that point? I think it's Jefferson.
Nope.
And then, so you'd rather have Gibson and Kittle than Edwards-Helaire
Jefferson
and Jefferson?
And Edwards-Helaire? Yeah. But I also couldn't, you couldn't have guaranteed. Maybe you could have guaranteed me that Edwards-Helaire would have been there in round three.
Couldn't have guaranteed that. I mean, that he fell. I think he fell.
Well, what's his ADP? Yeah, Kittle's ADP apparently is right on to where I took him in round three.
You took him, what, 30th? And his ADP, I'm looking at NFC since June 1st, his ADP is 32nd.
Okay, and then Edwards-Helaire?
24th, I think?
22nd.
23rd. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm obviously not valuing Edwards-Helaire like the majority of the world is.
I don't know
but
if any of us.
That's just how I'm rolling.
Heath, is this what format is this for NFC? Is it PPR?
Half PPR.
Half PPR. Well, that makes a difference.
And there's a lot of best ball drafts in there.
Okay. All right. So that's how Dave started his team. He did not take a wide receiver until round four.
Yep. You took best available wide receivers in rounds four and five.
My sixth round pick
is where I'm really happy.
You can figure out if you like Dave's receivers enough in a three receiver league with a flex that's full PPR. He's got Robert Woods, Deontay Johnson, and T.Y. Hilton.
And you found the weak spot.
Yeah. Michael Carter is his flex. His bench receivers are Paris Campbell, Gabriel Davis, and Jalen Reagor. So, all right, that's Dave's
team. No question. I've got work to do.
Heath, how did you feel about your start? You came in second place in the poll. Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, Keenan Allen, Mike Davis, and Mark Andrews.
I liked it, and I even after looking at it today, I still like it. But I do think that I kind of made Dave's team win the poll with a couple of decisions that I made that are unpopular. One is Derrick Henry at three over Alvin Kamara, and if Drew Brees were still the quarterback, I would not do that. It's quite possible Jameis Winston starts 16 games, and I regret doing that. If Taysom Hill starts 16 games, I don't believe I will regret doing that. In fact, I think I would be very pleased that I did that.
17.
17 games. Yeah, well, if Taysom Hill starts 16 games, I think that you're still going to regret it, regardless of who starts that 17th game.
Okay.
But the more interesting decision, I think, was that we've talked about it. The third pick is it's frustrating. It doesn't feel like there's anybody who should go third to me. I'd rather have four or five. I can feel more justified. But the other decision was at the end of round two, I chose A.J. Brown over Darren Waller. And early in round three, I chose Keenan Allen over George Kittle. And I don't imagine that the second of those decisions is very popular. But I actually have, I had a little bit of strategy with both my 2-3 turns and my 4-5 turns. Keenan Allen was my top player available when I took A.J. Brown.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was surprised you didn't take Keenan Allen ahead of you. Just figured.
I didn't think anybody else would.
Yeah, you were right.
Mm-hmm. And then Mark Andrews was my top player available when I took Mike Davis, but I didn't think anybody was going to take him. So like that worked out well for me, but I also, and I went and looked at it today because when I took Mark Andrews, the top wide receiver of mine available was Cooper Kupp. And I thought that was a good pick by you in round five, Adam. But me, the difference between AJ Brown and Cooper Kupp is bigger than the difference between Darren Waller and Mark Andrews. The difference between Keenan Allen and Cooper Kupp is different, bigger than the difference for me between George Kittle and Mark Andrews. So I'm going to take those top 10 wide receivers there.
Yeah. I think the Mike Davis pick. So there was a run of running backs at the end of round four, right after Dave took Robert Woods. I took Jacobs. He took Mike Davis. Then it was Miles Gaskin. Then it was Travis Etienne. I'm not sure if any of the four people who drafted there are like, yes, I got my guy. I mean, I don't feel that way, but I think Jacobs is fine. The running back who went before them was David Montgomery, and then it was three wide receivers, and then it was Jacobs, Mike Davis, Miles Gaskin, and Travis Etienne. So what were your emotions when you took Mike Davis as your RB2? Because when I took Josh Jacobs as my RB2, I was like, fine. It's fine.
I was still kind of flying high from the fact that I was going to have a team that I drafted this year that didn't have Josh Jacobs on it because you took him right before me. Because basically Josh Jacobs' ADP in our mocks has been, when does Heath take him? And I don't like, this is going to sound a little bit crazy, but in my full PPR projections, I project Mike Davis to score more points than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So I'm pretty happy to get Mike Davis at the end of round four when Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going in the middle of round three.
Okay. And then let's see how Heath's team played out. A little more conventional drafting than what Dave and I did because he took his tight end in round five. I took mine in round one. Dave in round three, and I let's take a look at Heath's team here. Shraggy B, if you got it.
Coming.
All right. So Heath has Joe Burrow. I didn't go through all Dave's team, and I should have.
And it's so much fun. I've got Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence.
Right. Which means it's not that much of a weakness.
I don't know if that's your weakness. I think RB2 might be your weakness. I'm sorry.
If you assume that Mike Davis plays well, is it? It's not as big of a weakness. He drafted Mike Davis where you draft a number two running back.
Yeah. Okay. So
like, I feel like that's experiment. Not the right weakness to point out. I don't know if there really is one. Read the team.
Yeah. All right. Burrow, Derrick Henry, Mike Davis, AJ Brown, Keenan Allen, and DJ Chark, Mark Andrews, Robbie Anderson. Burrow and Lawrence are his quarterbacks. He also has Tevin Coleman, Darrington Evans, Melvin Gordon, definitely could be useful, and Latavius Murray, who got a chance to be incredible. Let's do a quick experiment here comparing my team to Heath, since we both took, obviously you have Derrick Henry and I have DeAndre Swift, so it's a big difference there, but we both took our second running back in round four back-to-back. I took Jacobs, and you took Mike Davis. Your other running backs, just for depth, are Coleman, Melvin Gordon, and Latavius Murray. Mine are Mostert, Drake, Madison, and Pollard. Dave, do you see a big difference in either of those stables?
Yeah, I don't like Heath's running back depth.
I think you have better depth than I do.
I think that's the first glaring weakness, but that's a weakness, and I'm using air quotes, that I think everybody can live with. When you're putting your fantasy team together, okay, so I don't have great running back depth, you know.
Yeah,
really?
I know that Heath can live with that. Because I think he's good at receiver. I think he got very fortunate with getting Keenan Allen when he did. And no complaints about Robbie in the flex. We'll see about Chark as a third receiver. He's fine. Or you could put Chark in the flex and put Robbie as your third receiver.
You could put Antonio Brown in the third receiver.
And I was going to get to AB. Like, that's a great receiving core. Yeah. That kills my receiving core.
Yeah, so I think the difference in our teams is the back-to-back picks in round seven. You took Robbie Anderson and I took Raheem Mostert. And I just feel a little better having another running back option since. But you do have Derrick Henry. I had Swift as my RB1. I had Swift and Jacobs, then I took Mostert in round seven. You have Henry and Mike Davis. And
Anderson, I think, clearly has a higher floor than Raheem Mostert in PPR.
Sure.
And I'm just not sure, like, if everything goes right for Robbie Anderson, everything goes right for Raheem Mostert, I think I'm still starting Anderson over Mostert most weeks. in full
Adam,
PPR.
Adam's receiver depth is very shaky with John Brown, Amari Rodgers, and Terrace Marshall.
Yeah, and that's pretty bad.
That being said, you're starting three receivers, Jefferson, Devontae Smith, Cooper Kupp. They're awesome.
Well,
but
maybe.
If Mostert doesn't get the job done, you're going to have a problem at flex. And if one of your other running backs doesn't get the job done on top of that, you're going to have holes for days in your lineup.
It's you guys like Mostert and Drake a lot more than Melvin Gordon?
Mostert, I think I've got them all very close together. Not Drake is third for sure.
Yeah, I like Gordon ahead of Drake. I didn't take Drake ahead of Gordon, did I?
No, I was just saying like we were comparing depth and my best bench running back is Melvin Gordon. I think yours are Mostert and Drake.
Mostert, unfortunately, is a starter for me. He's a flex.
Oh,
right.
So yeah. Your number one backup running back is Kenyon Drake?
Mm-hmm.
And mine is Melvin Gordon?
But that's not entirely true because I could use Mostert at running back and put a wide receiver
okay.
at flex.
Okay, yeah. No. So it's Mostert versus Gordon.
I guess in theory, yes. But you have Robbie Anderson and I have... Yeah, right. I have Mostert. I guess I prioritized running back a little bit more because I was weaker at running back. And
did you take a quarterback?
Russell Wilson in round 7, I believe.
So I think that's a big part of the difference.
I took him in round 8. Russell Wilson in round 8, and you took Burrow in round 12.
And then Trevor Lawrence in round 13.
Right. So maybe what Heath has proved is that if you are going to take tight end, and we've talked about this before, like when we used to say you can't take a quarterback and a tight end with your first 5 picks.
Yeah, I didn't. So I took Wilson.
And neither
around
did
8.
I, but I did in my first 6 picks.
I didn't.
And I think I think if you do commit to taking a tight end early, you should probably wait on quarterback.
Because Wilson in round eight is
Heath's weak spot, but it's not really. Like he did good. Burrow and Trevor Lawrence as a combo platter at quarterback is totally fine to start the season.
All right. So those are picks 3, 4, and 5. What if you had a later pick? How did some of those later teams look? Some different ways to start. I looked at picks 10, 11, and 12. Pick 10 was David Mendelsohn, a guest drafter with us. Pick 11 was Samantha Praviti, another guest. And pick 12 was Dan Schneier. So pick 10 looked like this. This was the first 6 picks for pick 10. Running back, running back, running back was the start. Aaron Jones, Najee Harris, Chris Carson, DJ Moore. Whose phone is ringing?
It's my house phone. No one's active enough to go get it right now.
Your what phone?
House
you have
phone.
A house phone?
We still have a house phone.
Like what?
Telemarketers. We like to talk with them.
All right.
The kind you plug it into a wall?
Yes.
Holy cow. Okay, so I'm sorry. Pick 10. Aaron
Jones. Do you
really
want me to get into why or not?
No. God, good. I want to get into pick 10. Aaron Jones, Najee Harris, Chris Carson, DJ Moore, Brandon Ayuk, Kyler Murray. That's how pick 10 started his team. Pick 11 went wide receiver, running back. It was Tyreek Hill, Nick Chubb, Miles Sanders, Amari Cooper, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Dallas Goedert. And pick 12 was Mixon Diggs, Julio Jones, Chris Godwin, Chase Claypool, Josh Allen. So that's Dan Schneier, who took one running back of those first 6 picks. And he loaded up at receiver Diggs, Julio, Godwin, Claypool, and then Josh Allen.
I want to see what he did at running back.
I don't think I like, because I kind of like the one running back early and then build everything else. I don't think I like doing that and also punting tight end.
I didn't like, I guess it's like the Claypool pick maybe I didn't like. Just, is there a running back you could have taken there? Not really. I mean, when he took Claypool, it was another full round, basically. It was 11 picks until another running back went, and it was Chase Edmonds and Javonte Williams. His RB2 is Damian Harris. So this team for Dan Schneier picking 12th was Josh Allen, Mixon, and Damian Harris. Diggs, Godwin, Julio Jones, Claypool at flex, Robert Tonyan at tight end, and the Browns DST. That's good. He also has Trey Sermon, Giovanni Bernard, Jamal Williams. He has Tyler Higbee, who I think a lot of us will have ahead of Tonyan. Michael Gallup. Yeah, I don't know. I don't love it. Because, like, yeah, as you said, Heath, we have one running back. We also doesn't have any elite tight end. Yeah. There are enough question marks about Godwin and Julio Jones and Chase Claypool. I don't think they're all three of them are going to hit.
I think one thing you take from this is it's not very fun to pick 12th.
I like picking 12th.
No matter what you do. His strategy was probably just taking the best available players each time he was up, and he made sure to get one running back that he could build around. The modified zero RB, as the kids call it.
He also went modified zero quarterback and modified zero tight end because he drafted one of them.
Well, he had Josh Allen.
Right, so, okay, the price he paid for loading up at wide receiver and getting Joe Mixon was to get a low-end starter at tight end and quarterback. Look, or not quarterback, at tight end, I should say, and at number two running back. Quarterback, he did pretty good. But that's, again, part of the price that he paid. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, it could work out, except...
It's going to work out if he finds another running back. That's really what it comes down to with modified zero RB, is that you're going to load up at all the other positions, which he did at quarterback and wide receiver, and one running back spot.
But that's the thing. We cannot forget...
Could he have taken Chase Edmonds over Chase Claypool and felt better about his life?
Maybe. Cannot forget how bad Joe Mixon was last year. We can't sit here and look at this team and say, oh, he drafted Joe Mixon. He's totally fine at RB1. You know?
That's a different conversation.
But that's part of it. If you're going to go with this 1RB approach, you've got to feel pretty damn good about your 1RB. And
he could have had Chubb. He could have had Akers. He could have had Najee. He could have taken Gibson if he really had conviction over Gibson. He obviously had conviction over Mixon.
Conviction. He should have taken Vixen. Should have taken Davante Adams. Should have done.
Well, let's say he had. If he started with Adams and Diggs, when he's up in round three, who are the available running backs for him to take?
So if you push every...
David Montgomery was the best running back on the board. Josh Jacobs, Mike Davis, Miles Gaskin.
If you push every running back down one, because he would not have taken Mixon...
Who's to say that somebody that took a receiver wouldn't have taken a running back?
I mean, maybe, but Miles Sanders and David Montgomery could have potentially been his two picks. In rounds three and four. If he had gone Diggs...
If you feel good about those guys, Adams, then yeah, you could have done that.
Well, I'm just saying he should have taken Adams over Diggs. He didn't have to take both Adams and Diggs, but he should have taken Davante Adams. Let's see. I wanted to look at the wide receiver battles. We'll do that in a minute. We'll talk about the Bengals wide receivers, the Cowboys wide receivers, the Niners, the Jaguars, and players like that, and where those guys went. I'll get your thoughts on that when we come right back on Fantasy Football Today.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
On May 23rd...
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
All right, we're back. Here we go. Reviewing this mock draft, 12 teams, PPR, three receivers, and a flex. So where did the Bengals wide receivers go? Jamar Chase, round 5. Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins back-to-back in round 7. Boyd with the first pick of round 7, Higgins with the second pick of round 7. Chase, round 5, then Boyd and Higgins in round 7. Heath?
I think in full PPR, I like the value on all of those. I have Chase at 50th, so the very, very early in round 5. I have Boyd and Higgins both at like 66 and 67. I do currently in full PPR have Boyd one spot ahead of Higgins. That feels like something that might change, and I might just not be able to pass up the upside of Higgins, especially if we get more steam on this Jamar Chase playing more in the slot, because I think that would be very, very bad for Tyler Boyd.
Yes.
Can I take a quick detour here? I forgot to do something important. We're giving away our spots on the Scott Fishbowl. So here are the winners.
Oh.
Make sure I have them.
Just out of nowhere here.
Yeah, I completely forgot. At JEPODE.
Yeah.
Okay. At KJones0053.
Yep.
At GJ Eckert.
GJ Eckert.
Yep. At live.
Is it related to Austin Eckert?
Mm-hmm. Live from Kevin. At live from Kevin. And at Logan Ridenour 2. Congratulations.
Ridenour, I think.
I'm going to go Ridenour.
I think you're going to be wrong.
I usually am. Okay, so those are the Bengals wide receivers. How about the Cowboys wide receivers, Dave? Amari Cooper, second pick of the fourth round. That's 38th mm-hmm. overall. CeeDee Lamb, four picks later. And Michael Gallup, we never really talk about. Last pick of round nine.
Seems right about where I would expect them all to go. Cooper ahead of Lamb. Most of the time, that's what you're going to see, and they'll be no more than 10 picks apart. And then Michael Gallup will be much later on in the draft.
What? Where did they go again? The first two?
Round four, second pick of round four, and then four picks later. Cooper, second pick, and then Lamb, four picks later.
Yeah, I think if my choice is at those costs, I may just take Gallup.
Gallup is, he went right after Corey Davis and before Devontae Parker.
Yeah, I'm kind of coming around. I definitely like Gallup better than those two.
So it's been about two full seasons of Cooper and Prescott. If you just look at the last eight games of 2018, then all of 2019, and then the first six of 2020, his 16-game pace, Amari Cooper, 16-game pace, 91 catches, 1,247 yards, eight touchdowns on 133 targets. 91 catches, 1,247 yards, eight touchdowns. Do you think either Cooper or Lamb gets that production this year? Per 16 games, I guess.
No, I think Cooper is the one in line to get it because he's demonstrated it. And I think it's going to be a lot of zone coverage against this Cowboys defense. I think the teams aren't going to man him up very often.
You can't. I don't think.
Well, you can. It depends on your personnel and how good your front four are. But I just have a feeling that Cooper is still going to be a primary target for Dak. And I think that CeeDee Lamb will still be a primary target for Dak, which makes me nervous about Gallup, even at the round nine price. I have Gallup as a round 10 pick.
Brandon Ayuk, let's look at the Niners. Brandon Ayuk in round five, just after Jamar Chase, Kenny Galladay, and Tyler Lockett. And then Deebo Samuel in round seven.
Again, I like Ayuk better than Samuel, but if they're two rounds apart, I'd probably rather take Deebo.
All right, I'll get the debate going. Deebo Samuel was one of my least favorite picks.
Same.
It was Ben Gretsch's pick. I told him actually while we were doing
in round seven.
Yeah, I didn't like it. He went just after Beckham, just before Brandon Cooks, Will Fuller, Jarvis Landry.
Okay, I would much rather have Cooks than Deebo.
Yeah. Cooks is one of my favorite picks.
But I would strongly prefer Deebo to Odell Beckham.
I can't do that.
Not me.
Even with all the horrors that are Odell Beckham's stats over the past several seasons, I still think that he can return better value as a number three receiver than Deebo can. I see Ayuk ascending. I see Kittle being healthy. I see a quarterback question mark where once the 49ers flip the switch to Trey Lance, then maybe all bets are off for all three of those pass catchers. But Deebo to me is someone who is going to get schemed up a little bit more to get work, but it's not going to be a lot of work. He's in that 5 to 6 target per game range. Whereas I think Ayuk is a little bit better than that and Kittle's a lot better than that. And I'm nervous that he's going to underwhelm as a top, even like 8-round pick. I don't think I'm drafting Deebo this year based on ADP.
I think I have Beckham and Deebo pretty close in terms of receiving production. It's just the rushing production for Deebo. And I don't think you can't count on what exactly it's going to be, but I would expect he's going to score 15 to 20 more points than Beckham does in the running game.
My issue with Deebo is that there has not been a Niners player with more than 5 touchdowns under Kyle Shanahan, and I just can't see him doing it. I can't see him having more than 5 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Of course, it could happen. You know, could always be wrong about those things, but if that's his upside, what's his upside? Yeah, I just don't see it happening. And I don't see three good players in this passing offense on the Niners, and I believe pretty strongly in the other two guys.
I think this is more about me thinking Odell Beckham was drafted too high than thinking that Debo fell too far.
Where did Odell go?
Well, so just before him. So let's go to the Browns then. Beckham and Landry were both round 7 picks. Landry went 5 picks after Beckham. I'll tell you one thing I really have noticed about Beckham with the Browns is he doesn't get a ton of targets. We know that. But he has been a matchup-dependent guy, and he's had a pretty tough schedule. He played, 5 games last year? He faced Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Washington, and he struggled against them. He had 74 yards and a touchdown against the Bengals. He had a huge game against the Cowboys. And that's basically what he was in 2019, too. He had one of the toughest schedules. So that's something
that's going to happen playing in the AFC North.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd rather know when to start and sit a guy, because I think if he has a good matchup, he's showing he can be really good. And then on the other hand, with Landry, if you look at Beckham is the most injury-prone wide receiver in football. So Landry on draft day may not look that great, but he's one injury away from being the number one target on the team.
How did that work out last year?
It was interesting. He got a lot of touchdowns toward the end of the season. If you recall, after Beckham got hurt, they had a series of terrible weather games. Terrible. And then Baker Mayfield got a lot better later in the year. And in the last 6 games of the season, I think it was, Landry was kind of a stud in a deceiving way, because he didn't have a ton of yards per game. Well, he did, because he had one huge game. But then he had like a lot of 60-yard games. He kept scoring. I'd take that in the 7th round. I think it was the second to last pick of the 7th round too. That was definitely worth it there. So I don't know. What do you guys, is round 7 good for the Browns guys?
Too early for me.
I've got Odell and Landry both outside of the first 7 rounds. So I think you'd have to be pretty reachy a little reachy to get Odell there. Definitely to get Landry there. We used to say that Landry was always a good value no matter where you took him, but I'm not sure if he was last year, because you might have started him early in the year and he disappointed you. And then when Odell got hurt, you probably started Landry again and he let you down. Maybe the weather played a factor. And then once you said, okay, no more Jarvis Landry, then he started to perk up. We'll see. We'll see how he does. But I think he's I don't know, Adam. I think he's at best a number 3 fantasy receiver. I think you can draft wide receiver 3s in round 7, but the kind that you get there, you're hoping have a little bit more upside than what Landry gives you.
Okay.
And I think Beckham has 5 games in his Cleveland career under 30 yards receiving and 2 games over 100. I'm just not sure that he's as good as he used to be. And it's a very, very low pass volume team, and their defense got even better. So I don't think that's going to change.
They have other receivers that they like there too.
Right. Adam's right about the schedule and Beckham's 100% week 1, we've got a lot of ifs and ands. Mm-hmm. He starts off with the Chiefs and then the Texans. You could just get 2 good games from Beckham and then trade him.
I don't know about the Chiefs, because
I don't either.
Snead is their second year cornerback. He's got the potential, I think, to be kind of a lockdown guy.
The reason I say the Chiefs is I think the Browns are going to have to throw it 40 times.
Yeah. Right.
Right. I think I've kind of come to the conclusion. I feel like I like Beckham a little bit if I can get him in round 8 or later for sure. But I know he's just not if you're this could be someone I start every week, I think the chances are pretty small. But if you think that he's a matchup guy, then hey, you might be able to kind of play the matchups and get a good player. Sometimes at least. Okay, let's go to the Jaguars guys. DJ Chark in round 6, Laviska Shenault in round 8, Marvin Jones with the last pick of round 10. Heath, Chark in 6, Shenault in 8, Jones in 10.
Yeah, Chark I took. That's right where I've got him. So I feel pretty good about that one. I currently still have Marvin Jones ahead of Shenault. And so I like Marvin Jones' value there a lot more than I do Shenault's.
Okay.
I'm the same.
And Will Fuller in round 7, Jalen Waddle 7 picks later in round 8. For the Dolphins. Fuller in round 7, 7 picks later, Jalen Waddle.
I'm fine with Fuller in round 7. I probably prefer to wait a little bit longer on Waddle, but if you like him, you got to have him, then round 8 is the time to take him.
I have them both in round 7, but I would rather take Waddle. There's a chance that Waddle plays 16 games and is good.
17 games.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we need a swear jar every time you say 17 games or anyone. John Brown in round 10, Henry Ruggs with the first pick of round 12. Just so you know, I take John Brown in every draft.
Yeah, I don't know that I've drafted a Raiders wide receiver this year.
They're bench guys. You're hoping that Brown can be what Aguilar was for a span of last year.
Right.
That's as long as he stays healthy for it. Ruggs has all kinds of upside. Like that, Ruggs is a great dart throw to be impatient with. Like if you see in the first couple of weeks of the season that he's just not that guy for the Raiders, you can drop him.
They're not a bad passing offense. You know, Derek Carr is like a 4,200-yard guy.
They're going to be throwing a lot, too, because their defense is miserable.
Yeah,
it's just that every year they're towards the bottom of the league in the percentage of their targets that go to wide receivers.
Yeah, well, if it's only one wide receiver. Aguilar was useful last year, so I think basically Aguilar, if you got that kind of production, that's worth a 10th-round pick, and that's where
I would take John. What kind of odds can I get on Hunter Renfrow leading the Raiders wide receivers and targets?
I give you pretty good. I'll give you a 4-1.
4-1. Because
he was only 5 targets behind Aguilar last year.
Let's go. 4-1.
4-1. Yeah. Deal.
Okay. Dave, how much should we bet?
I thought we were betting like.
I would have been like double that at least.
Oh, I'm taking Dave's odds.
Yeah, right.
Colts, Michael Pittman, first pick of round 9, T.Y. Hilton, round 10.
I like T.Y. as a bench receiver, and unfortunately, I had to draft him as my number 3 receiver. Pittman is the one that's got the upside.
I absolutely love both of these values, and I'm trying to figure out why neither of these guys are on my team.
It's funny. Pittman basically had one good game last year. he's big.
It's the type of receiver that Wentz gravitated towards.
Is it though? Because his A dot was like 8 yards. He was not a downfield guy at all last year.
As a rookie, no. They used him a lot on shallow stuff.
And they used him in the slot last year. Not he was more outside, but they used him in the slot. Maybe he could be a different guy. He's not a burner, but he looks fast. He looks like he's got good speed when you watch him. He had a pretty slow 40 time. But I don't know if he's a fit for Wentz because he was an underneath guy last year, so he's gonna have to change his style.
He wasn't an underneath guy at USC.
Somebody sent me an article about T.Y. Hilton being the a really good fit with Carson Wentz while I was on vacation. I didn't actually read it.
Okay, Heath, how was your vacation?
It was really good. I went camping for a night. I smoked some brisket. I smoked some burnt ends. Did a lot of great things.
I love your commitment to it because you could easily say I put some brisket and burnt ends on the smoker, but you know, it's just, there's just an effect when you say I smoked some and then people are like, and then they hear, you know, the food.
What did Heath smoke on vacation?
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So did you go anywhere?
I went camping for a night, but no, I didn't go anywhere.
Okay. I think I want to take a vacation, a little vacation.
I think I'm going to Boston in July. So,
oh, why?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Have you been there?
Great town.
I've been there for like a day.
Okay. It's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to be there, I think, for a week. So,
Adam, did you go into the New York City said you would?
I did not.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. I know. But my friend, I did have a friend come over, which was fun. It was fun to see my friend who is from San Francisco. So, don't get to see him often. We saw some live music in the park. We had a very nice weekend. It's good stuff. All right, everybody, enjoy your day. And we'll talk to you on Tuesday as we look at the top 5 backfield battles that we're keeping an eye on heading into training camp and heading into 2021. For Schrager and Richard and Cummings, I'm Adam Azer. Yeah, I'm Azer. See ya.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.